And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 1st, 2019, Season 13, Episode 20. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And Matt is going to get here when he can.
Should be on route.
He's not. I just asked for his status. He hasn't replied, so I don't know what he's doing. Mm. But yeah, he'll get here when he can. And we'll have Matt on the show. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Let me do this very, very fast, as I normally do. Not so fast. That's all I needed to do. Look at that. There we go. If you want to get in touch with us, this weekend's probably not a good time to do that. We have too much stuff to talk about and to go over and to cover because it's been 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You'd think we'd have less, but no. There is a lot. I will tell you that you can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at In-Game Chat. We are streaming on Twitch. Go there and watch us if you want to. If you'd like to prove the whole We Have Faces for Radio thing actually works, that's where you will discover it. Twitch.tv. Type in In-Game Chat. We don't do the smart, stupid stuff like the letter N and then game or whatever. No, it's I-N-G-A-M-E, chat, and you'll find us. And you can watch live while we broadcast. We don't use numbers for letters and one letter to represent a whole word. That's just, yeah. We don't.
Leave that for the young folks.
The young folks, right?
Yep.
We can say that now. The young folks.
I'm sorry if that's depressing.
Leave it for the whippersnappers. And now we can't run numbers for letters. I can't understand it. Anyway, welcome to the show. God, a lot has gone on. I have got...
Yes, it has.
I don't know if you've looked at the sheet that I do. You know, the one with all the news stories and stuff to cover. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 pages worth. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get to all of it today. I really don't think we will. And I don't necessarily know that we need to get to all of it, because you never know what kind of a week it's going to be, right, when you're looking through news, especially when you're taking 2 weeks off. And so if something comes up and it's gotten like, oh, that's got 1,000 hits on it or something like that, yeah, maybe I should save that. Maybe that's something we should talk about. I don't know. But you just hold on to it, because if it's a slow week, then you've got something to talk about. If it's a busy week, well, then you've just... You know, you've added on to the pile of what becomes a lot of news. And we're about to run into it again. However, so there's this weekend, right? And then we're going to do a show next Saturday. And then the day after that is... What the hell is it, my keyboard? The day after that is E3. And I say the day after. It's a Sunday. But that's right. Microsoft holds its E3 press conference. And we don't have as many as... Well, actually, we lost some and gained some this year. We lost PlayStation, but we gained... Or I say we lost PlayStation. We lost Sony, but we gained Square Enix. Square Enix, I think the whole thing for Square Enix... sure, there's going to be some Final Fantasy talk, because obviously Sony's not going to be there to do that this year. I don't know what Sony's doing, man. They're not doing a whole thing. Are they doing anything, though? You know? Mm-hmm. I don't remember reading that anywhere. But, well, you know, we lost Sony to E3. They're not going to do an E3 presentation this year. So as STM Fuller was like, where did Sony go? How did we lose them? Yeah, Matt's a ghost. If I could make his chair move right now, I would. There's a light flickering over there, and it might get worse as we do the show. I don't know. He will be here at some point. He has still not responded to let us know that he is here on his way or anything like that. I can't get my phone to recognize my face. That's how bad it is. My phone does not want to recognize me. It doesn't even want to look at me. So anyway, Sony's not there. Square Enix is. What else do we have? Devolver will do theirs. There's the PC Gamer Show thing. That's always kind of fun to watch, but... yeah. What else do we have? We have Nintendo is going to do their thing. Microsoft's doing theirs. Bethesda is doing theirs again. EA is not doing anything. Hmm. I think EA may be doing... EA is doing EA Play, and they listed off of some stuff. And I may have it in the massive list of things that I have.
Yeah, hadn't been popular in the news lately, so.
Yeah, STM Fuller, EA never does anything anyway. Well, they would provide us with plenty of moments of cringe, things that we could use as memes later on. Is this it? Any Matt update? No, that's for March. No Matt update. No, nothing yet. The only thing EA has to do is show us the Star Wars game. He's on his way. The only thing that we need out of EA is the Star Wars game. That's it. Whatever that was called, and it's already slipped in my mind. He would know. Matt would know. But whatever it is, the Jedi thing, the Star Wars game that Star Wars people are excited about, but will ultimately be disappointed over, is basically what I'm saying. That's really all they've got to show. Just show that and you're good. Fallen Order. Yeah. Jedi Fallen Order. Star Wars. Is it Star Wars Fallen Order or Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order? I think it's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters at all.
Jedi Fallen Order would be good enough for me.
Yeah.
You say we'll Jedi, you're automatically talking about Star Wars. I don't know why you put the name there, though.
Yeah, well, because probably in the contractual obligations. Mm. Must say Star Wars. Yeah. So what do we got on our news here? We already have a phone call. Let's just go to the phones. Matt's not here to screen the phones. Hi, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's Matt.
Oh, it's Matt. Hey, Matt.
It's Jedi Fallen Order.
Is it Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, or is it just Jedi Fallen Order?
Or I guess technically the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Hurry up!
I'm on my way.
Hurry up and get here.
I'm on my way.
Okay.
I was yelling at the radio.
I'm sure you were.
All right. See you guys soon.
All right. Bye bye. So we know he's listening. What should we say? Yeah. What should we say to aggravate him further?
Don't do that.
LucasArts sucks. No, he'll be here soon. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't. It's that's all really that anybody wants to see mm-hmm. from EA. If they have some new properties, sure, whatever. If you're showing that, it's just going to be, okay, let's get this out of the way so we can see Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Mm. That's really all that you care about.
Anything EA does right now, people are going to have a wait-and-see attitude anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is stuff we'll cover next Saturday. We'll talk about, like, hey, here's what we hope to see, that sort of thing. What we've got this Saturday is... Microsoft announced a Minecraft Earth, which is a Minecraft version of Pokemon Go, as though we needed more of that. And I'm fine with Pokemon Go, and I guess I'm fine with that. I just don't do cell phone games. I really don't do cell phone games.
Same here.
Very rarely do I do them. I did the Pokemon Go stuff for a little while, but I didn't do it like frantically or religiously or anything like that. Yep. I did it whenever I'd enter a new city, I'd pop open and be like, oh, here's all the stuff around here, but I didn't do anything with it.
Yeah. It's like, I remember that video from, I think it was in Central Park. It was a video from Central Park in New York, that mass amount of players that swarmed in on Central Park to find this. Someone said there was a rare Pokemon in that game, and it was a video of it taken. It was a whole mass of people just going down there.
No. There's a thing for everybody, right? I mean, everybody has their thing, and there's something for everyone, and that's perfectly fine. I hate to like downplay it and say that I don't care, which means we shouldn't talk about it. Of course we should. Mm. I'm just not going to have any experience to go on, and I don't think anybody else in the room is going to have that experience to go on and tell you if they liked it or if they didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm predetermined, I guess, to not enjoy cell phone gaming like that, or at the very least, not give it an enough time to find a place for it for me, mm-hmm. I suppose. It's just not there. It's just not there for me to keep going like that with those games. So yeah. I'll download it. I'll take a look at it. I'll be like, okay, this is kind of cool. This is kind of neat. But rarely does it ever hook me.
Yeah.
And maybe that goes to all the waiting that they have you do. Mm-hmm. Because I got to make some money somehow, right? And so you spend some money to like speed up some things in the game. Otherwise, you wait for it to regenerate. And so it kind of becomes an appointment gaming, like, okay, Let me open up my phone and let's see. Let me check my mail. Let me check my texts. Now let me check my gaming stuff and do this. Done. All right, that's done for that day. I'll come back and check that again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work that way for me. I either forget or I don't know. It's just not there.
I guess for me, it's the type of games that I play predominantly.
Yeah.
Especially fighting games. I've seen fighting game apps put on there. I can't do that on a smartphone. Or a game like Dark Souls or whatever, I wouldn't be fully in control. It's just like tap here and let the AI do it for you. I'd rather be in the more in control I am, the more happier I am playing, I guess. But basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I can't do that on a smartphone game.
Now,
most smartphone games anyway.
This goes back to our time in between, so the 2 weeks we've been away. Mm-hmm. Some of this stuff might be old. There is no update on this article, but console players, not PC players, but console players have yet to beat The Division 2's first raid, and the community wants Ubisoft to step in. Division 2 players on console have called on Ubisoft to make changes to the game's first raid as it remains undefeated 2 days after launch. I have to feel like it's probably been defeated. It was defeated in 5 hours by a team on PC, but no team has managed to defeat it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Much of the difficulty on console stems from the sluggish aiming and movement compared to mouse and keyboard on PC. The raid's final boss in particular tasks players with reacting in just a few seconds with accurate damage per second fire. On console, this challenge has so far proved insurmountable. Console players now want Ubisoft to make some changes to the way the raid works on their platforms, and not just in terms of difficulty either, but also in mechanics as well.
Isn't there something on consoles for like aim assist or something like that? Because it's always been the case that mouse and keyboard's always been more accurate and reliable than on the console with the pad.
Well, one of the issues players have highlighted with the raid is that it seems designed for 8 DPS builds, leaving little scope for a team to build strategy or alternative builds that might have revolved around healing or tanking. Not only is the gear designed for DPS, but none of the skills or skill mods really allow group dynamics. There's nothing like the restore box in the first game. The pulse isn't viable either, as there's just not enough AoE skills to buff your team. The shield isn't good for tanking either, as pistols aren't good enough for damage. The hope from some players is the developers separate balance updates on PC and console. The Division 2's raid is so difficult on the console, it's become a joke with the community, and memes have begun. Ubisoft has yet to react to the complaints, but unless a team soldiers through a raid soon, it seems the developers will have no choice but to step in. I've not heard any update on this. They did it now on consoles, also from Thar66. Mm-hmm. Says they got that done. So good job for them. You may have wanted to have a group effort to where you couldn't do it, so they would make those changes rather than have one team go through it, mm-hmm. and then everybody else just can't. Who knows? Last week, and this is again going back further, Microsoft and Sony announced a historic, if vague, deal to collaborate on cloud-based tech for future gaming platforms. However, within each company, there were a lot of people who were also surprised by this. It was reported within Sony's own PlayStation Vision were blindsided by the news. Discussion between the two companies, which celebrated their union with an image of Sony's boss and Microsoft head shaking hands, were conducted at a level senior to the PlayStation Division, the report continues. Many at Xbox were similarly unaware of the decision, which was planned at a high level within Microsoft. Such a union between two big console gaming rivals is naturally surprising, but it speaks to the importance of cloud computing infrastructure, blah, blah, blah. Nintendo, meanwhile, is also mulling a Microsoft deal. Dave Gibson noted that Nintendo was already considering using Microsoft tech for its own streaming services. So I think that's something we never got to before in some of our other stuff. Did you see the video that I linked to the Google chat room? Again, this is going back a few weeks about the PS5 load times.
Was that the one with Spider-Man?
Yeah, it was the one with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know Matt saw that, too. I'm going to copy that and put it in the room as soon as this thing will let me do that, because it's a slow computer.
Boop. One of the highlights is the gameplay outran the loading screen.
Yeah, it's just amazing how fast it was.
Yeah.
Sony undercuts Microsoft with the first details on PS5, not coming in 2019, of course. I heard at GDC that one of the big PS5 marketing beats would be no loading times, and he confirms that here. It sounds like it's expensive. Even taking into account how artificial these early looks can be, it looks like no loading times is definitely going to be a PS5 thing. Hmm. Very fast, extremely fast loading times or whatever it is they've got going there. And that was with Spider-Man that they were showing off. Mm-hmm. From Software. Yeah, there was some news. Again, I'm just going down the list here from everything. From Software's next big game is apparently something called Great Rune. Is that what I'm reading here? Did you read anything about that?
No, not a great room. The only thing I've seen was Code Vein.
The something game's like working or possibly final title is Great Rune. Mm-hmm. It is a collaboration between From Software and George R.R. Martin from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, the title alone indicates something of a medieval fantasy type thing going on.
Yeah, this started as a rumor, and then just recently in a blog post, George R.R. Martin discussed the show's ending, his current projects, and talked a little bit about what he's been up to recently. This is where he reveals he's consulted on a video game out of Japan. Mm-hmm. That's the only sentence that refers to the project in his post, but it was enough to immediately revive the rumor. The game, dubbed Project Rune, has a Norse mythology setting. It's built on Unreal Engine 4, not From Software's own tech, which would make sense given the game's rumored open-world nature. At the start, you'll be able to pick from three character classes with plenty of Dark Souls elements, such as multiplayer, invasions, and co-op, also returning. The project is real, according to another site, and will debut at Microsoft's E3 2019 showcase. Hmm. Probably won't get more than a cinematic trailer, given how From Software usually does those sort of things. Hmm. It's probably what we'll see. If you've wondered why we haven't talked about what we played yet, we're hitting the news, and I guess when Matt gets here, we'll probably hit up what we've been playing. So, Mortal Kombat 11 dominated the April NPD reports, and I want to say this is for UK. Is this for UK? I don't know, I'm about to sneeze. Sorry. Excuse me.
Bless you. That's all this been coming from anyway, wasn't it, the UK?
I thought so. I thought we never really released that stuff here, but here's what we've got. And is that Matt? Yeah. He's oh, Matt is at the back door this time. We're going to take a break here in about 5 minutes.
All right.
So, all platforms software chart for April. All platforms software charts April 2019. The top 10: Yoshi's Crafted World, NBA 2K19, Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice. GTA 5 at number 6. At number 5 was Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Division 2 at number 4. MLB 19 at number 3. Days Gone at number 2. And Mortal Kombat 11 at number 1. The top PS4 games, Mortal Kombat 11 sits at number 1. The top 10 Xbox One games, Mortal Kombat 11 sits at number 1. So, that is a lot for you. Spider-Man at number 10 on the top PS4 games for April.
Still chugging along.
Still chugging along. I've still yet to, like, I finished the game, but I've still yet to finish the DLC.
Yeah.
Basically what I'm saying. Mortal Kombat 11, anti-loot boxes, Planet Coaster is getting a Ghostbusters expansion, and there's also a remaster of Ghostbusters the video game that is coming out. Look,
I forgot about that one, yeah.
Every year, Or maybe you can go every 5 years. Maybe that's what it feels like. But every year, a movie and a loved movie has an anniversary, whether it be a round one like the 20th or the 25th, or something like off kilter. Like, oh, it's the 23rd or the 27th. It's the 29th. Something like that.
Or maybe something like that with a number that's significant to the movie itself.
Yeah. So every year you're going to get new releases for those films. They're going to be like, oh, it's the 32nd anniversary edition of the release of Ghostbusters or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So Ghostbusters has one coming up. Is it? It's either the is it the 30th? I want to say it was 1984 or 5. So it's around the 30th or the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters. And I know you're looking that up now.
Yeah.
So, and Matt's yelling at his radio if he's still listening. Which he's not because he's standing outside the door waiting to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Thar, we're going to get to that news, actually. I've got that in my list.
June 8th of 84 is when Ghostbusters was released.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that, 35th anniversary?
35, yeah.
Yeah.
35th.
35th anniversary. So, yes, there's Ghostbusters content coming to Planet Coaster. Yes, they're going to remaster Ghostbusters the video game. And they're also doing a Steelbook release, by the way.
Mm, nice.
They're doing a huge 4K remaster of the film.
Okay.
Steelbook release. I think it's both 1 and 2 put into the Steelbook.
Okay.
So,
in images of the Steelbook?
You know, it looks like it's just the poster.
Hmm.
And I say the poster, but it's just the logo.
Just the logo.
Black logo or black background.
Jet black with
black background,
logo.
That sort of thing. And okay. That's what it looks like to be. So, yeah. But yeah, that always comes around. So, I know, man. I know Ghostbusters 4K. I mean, apparently it's a really good transfer from what I've read that they're working for the remaster type thing. So, where was it? That was Planet Coaster. I'll tell you what. We'll throw this break on and we'll go downstairs and let Matt in because he's been waiting. I'm here at the back door and it's hot outside.
Yeah.
Well, don't be late, sir. He didn't hear that, I'm sure. Actually, he's probably watching on his phone. Ah. We'll be right down, Matt. So I have no special theme for this week for music, as I typically don't lately, but I do have music. This comes from a PlayStation VR game, I guess recently released. I haven't been keeping up. Anyway, it's the main theme to a game called Blood and Truth. So Here is that, and we will be right back with Matt right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Pathologic 2. This is called The Plagued Outdoors. Pathologic is a very strange game, very creepy game. Pathologic 2 is a very stranger game and a very creepier game. You can probably tell by the music, it's just unsettling. And it's just a... yeah... save this for October when I do the scary stuff.
What was that game? Outlast?
There was Outlast, yeah.
Does it have that kind of feeling?
No.
Okay.
Outlast feels like you're being chased,
mm-hmm.
you know? Outlast is hiding and being chased. Pathologic is searching, and it's first-person device. I remember playing a little bit of it in... it was one of the PAXs that I went to. It's mm-hmm. Tiny Build. They do the publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, I probably have a key for it in my email somewhere, but I know I got Pathologic 2, and I already did that. I thought I had the first one, but apparently I don't. And if I'm remembering right, then you're in, or at least the demo that I played started you in a house. And you could open some doors, but some doors were locked. And you needed to check every single, there was a lot of dead people in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so you needed to check those people I think there was like a history on every single person in that house that you could somehow discover or find out. And you were a surgeon. So there were ways that you could apparently cut into people and even though they were dead and find out more information from them.
So autopsy right then and there.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like a key was inside a person and I had to cut them open and get the key out.
That sounds like Resident Evil 7.
To open a door.
Yeah. So, does it automatically tell you where the key is, or just automatically?
You know, no, you have to search. You have to search and do some stuff. Yeah. There were things involved with it. But there was also a constant fear that you were going to open up... you're going to open up a door that was going to have...
Something
behind it that was after you, or maybe it wasn't after you. I don't know.
Was it
Delinquent says the original Pathologic is about survival, not so much horror.
Was it apprehension? Is that kind of how you feel? You're like...
It just had an unnerving look to it.
Okay.
Social standings with factions shape the world, and the story was never a jump scare game. No, it was not jump scare. That's why I was saying it was unsettling.
I almost prefer that to jump scare. Atmospheric.
It was extremely atmospheric, but also gringy and dungy and just sort of, I don't know. It had a taste to it.
Yeah,
it was unsettling. So
I was thinking about
get under your skin.
Think about Condemned, Criminal Origins, having to search bodies and having to full forensics.
That was fun.
Having to go full forensics to find out what you need to do. And you had to get everything right before you wasn't going to get the full gist of the story going through there. Yeah.
And then the mannequins.
Lots of things. We were going to do the THQ Nordic thing here. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to go down. There's just so much
news. By the way, hi, everybody. I'm Matt.
Yeah, Matt has joined us. Take your time, son. Just take your time.
I got here as quick as I could.
I know. I understand. I know.
Yeah, that was out of his hands. He was.
We all got jobs,
man.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm just opening up some more links here as I go down the list. THQ Nordic has nearly 50 unannounced games in development. Ooh. That's a lot.
Wait, how many?
Around 50? Well, they have 50 unannounced games in development. Around 80 in total across THQ Nordic, Coffee Stain, and Deep Silver.
Hmm. Deep Silver, aren't they the ones that did Prey?
No.
They weren't?
No, Deep Silver didn't do Prey.
What'd they do? Wait, is that the one with the mask and the octopus and the... Is their logo? The diving helmet? Is that Deep Silver?
No.
See, Dead Island, Dead Island, Metro Sun. Exodus, Saints Row 4.
The people that did Prey 2, wasn't that People Can Fly?
Was or that
no?
People?
No.
Man, I get so much of them confused.
Deep Silver did Saints Row, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Look, yes, Tim Fuller.
I've been out in the sun.
We don't know these things anymore.
Yeah. The sun bakes your brain.
By the end of March, it had 80 games in development, 48 of them unannounced. Over the last few years, THQ Nordic has swallowed up countless developers and licenses, so there's really no surprise that they have that many things to show off. The financial report also revealed that Metro Exodus was THQ Nordic's largest ever launch, recouping its development and marketing cost and helping Deep Silver net sales hit $794 million.
I still need to get that one.
Coffee Stain's Satisfactory, which is an early access on the Epic Games Store, has also performed well, exceeding expectations. Well, good job for you guys. Riot Games is going to make a mobile version of League of Legends with Tencent being involved.
Tencent?
Yeah, that's the name of the Japanese company.
Okay.
Thought it was Chinese.
Is it Chinese? It may be a China company. I'm trying to look here and see if it was Tencent has anything here. Yeah, China. That's, you know, I put that out there because League of Legends is huge. I have no intention of playing it. I have no desire to play it. I don't think anybody in this room has any desire to play it. But again, this goes back to what I said earlier. Just because we have no desire doesn't mean listeners have no desire to play. Is that Chris?
Yes.
Okay, let's just... let me do these real quick, and then we'll get to Chris. He's okay with waiting. I know he is. So a new game console reveal? I don't know what this thing is. It's called Playdate. It's a new portable gaming system from a developer called Panic, coming in early 2020. It has a glossy black and white screen with no backlight, along with a directional pad, an A and B buttons. It also supports, or it also sports, a rotatable crank that pops out of the right side of the unit. Instead of buying games, Playdate owners will receive a season of 12 surprise games delivered over 12 weeks from developers like these other names. It's weird, and that's great. When I received the Playdate announcement under embargo last week, I thought it was a joke. Panic is a company that makes web utility apps for smartphones and published the adventure game Firewatch with Campo Santo.
That was a good game.
Now it's jumping directly into game hardware with a strange little yellow box. It's a nice-looking box. It's designed... it looks like a stylized Pikachu, its crank forming the tail. More intriguing than the crank, however, is the display. In this age of super high-definition full-color displays, the Playdate is black and white. Panic describes the 400 by 240 low-power LCD made by Sharp as extremely sharp and clear, with no grid lines or blurring. It's highly reflecting, which Playdate says makes it look gorgeous in bright sunlight. It also does not include a backlight, so to play in the dark will require a reading lamp of some sort. As for what you'll pay, that's being left to a surprise. The system costs $149. That's ridiculous. Which includes what Panic calls a season of games. That's 12 games delivered over 12 weeks. When a new game is downloaded, a light on the Playdate will flash, informing owners of something new to play. The idea is that games will come as a surprise to players. Panic wants Playdate to be about the whole experience, not just the hardware. This game uses the crank exclusively to control the flow of time. Looking at cranks,
maybe for kids?
Yeah. There's a lot about the Playdate that's yet to be revealed, such as technical specs. Panic says that more info on the CPU, the RAM, the storage, that sort of thing is forthcoming. Those interested in more information can sign up on the official Playdate website, where pre-orders are expected to launch later this year. They're trying to do something unique in the gaming space, and that's exciting. It'll be interesting to see what pans out for this peculiar little device. And Kotaku shared a report about Knights of the Old Republic being turned into a film, or it's currently being written anyway. That's about what we know for that. Now, that concludes page one of the news. We have a page and a half to go. Let's go to the phones, talk to Chris.
What's going on, y'all?
Hi, Chris. Nothing's going on. We just got back from a week off here, and we have a lot to talk about. So what's going on with you?
I've been playing Plague Tale on PlayStation 4 and been enjoying it so far.
That one has my interest.
Yeah, I've got to the point where you've seen in the little demo where she was going through and the different areas and the previews that they've released on the internet. Well, I finally got to that area, which is like chapter 9. But yeah, I've been thoroughly enjoying it.
All right.
And like you were talking about earlier, Scott, about the different ratings on Rotten Tomatoes and things like that, and some of the other movies. Did you ever get a chance to see that Alita movie that was a remake of Japanese anime stuff?
No, but it's coming out.
Steelbook.
Yeah,
July 23rd.
Oh, is it next month?
July 23rd was the day.
Good
I saw.
God, why so long?
I don't know, man. Maybe they try not to compete with anything. Is anything coming out in June that you know of?
On video?
On video or anything?
Like video
that?
Stuff? No.
Movies?
I mean, there are, but I don't think there's anything that could be in competition. Mm. I thought it was June sometime, so I thought, hey, whatever. I've still got over a month.
You were expecting a couple weeks.
Right. That's ridiculous. Although, what do I know? They released the
July 23rd.
They released the earlier four Batman films on 4K this week, but the Steelbooks of that doesn't hit until September.
Do they look nice?
But what?
4K transfers look very, very good.
No, the Steelbooks.
Oh, the Steelbooks? Yeah, they're actually not bad.
Do they take that long to produce?
I don't know.
Maybe just not to cut into the sales of,
Sales is sales, right?
Yeah.
Having more options available at the same time means that somebody's going to pick up one of them. I mean, maybe they're expecting people to double dip or not realize it and double dip.
That would be my guess.
That's kind of annoying. That's kind of mean.
I'm just used to that from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well, they got a lot of films to work with in Star Wars, though. Yeah.
And I've got a lot of them on various medias.
Yeah, but yeah, I put the order in for the Blu-ray. But yeah, July 23rd. Got to wait for it, but I'll have a copy. Hopefully. Hopefully nothing goes wrong, but yeah.
I mean, Dumbo released in March. Mm-hmm. You can probably look that up and see what time it released. That comes out in 2 weeks on video.
Because no one saw it in the theater.
Well, not a lot of people saw Alita either.
I think more people saw Alita.
I don't know. Disney might have you beat on that one. Also, the rating. I think Alita was rated, was it PG-13?
Yeah, it was PG-13, but... Yeah, most of its money came from the overseas markets, which I'm glad it really picked up because...
I will say this, something for the Alita release, and I know we're off on a tangent here. It is getting a release that not a lot of films do anymore, and most of them don't. It is getting a... The pack comes with a DVD, or not a DVD, but a Blu-ray, a 4K Blu-ray, and a 3D Blu-ray. So it's 4K, 3D, and regular as well.
Not many people do the 3D anymore.
No. Yeah. Do you know a 3D TV has not been manufactured since 2016?
Really?
Yeah.
I believe so, or maybe 17. It may have been 17, but there's a wide gap of how many 3D TVs have been manufactured. Not a single one has been manufactured in at least a year, probably 2 to 3 years. 3D, home viewing 3D is pretty much dead. And I hate that because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I wonder if the PlayStation 4 is capable of playing 3D movies. I guess it is as long as your monitor or TV is.
Or is it capable of playing 3D games?
Yeah, I've had other 3D games that I've played, but my projector is 3D compatible, so I may end up picking up the Alita thing.
The PlayStation 3 had 3D abilities because I remember playing Uncharted 3 in 3D. I remember playing Killzone in 3D as well.
Batman.
I want to say MLB The
Batman
Show
was
has
in 3D.
Yeah, the Arkham City.
I should hook that up.
You played that?
I didn't play it in 3D. I played Arkham City on my Xbox.
Or was it Arkham?
Arkham Knight I played on my PC.
Okay. Yeah. One of the Batmans, because I remember back when...
No, I'm sorry. I take that back. I got Arkham... So I got Batman Arkham Asylum on PS4 because it came with the Joker stuff.
It was the one after.
Right, but they never released that Joker stuff. It stayed on PS4 or PS3. It never moved over. So when Arkham City released, I also got that on... I want to say I got that on PlayStation as well.
And I believe that's the one that you played, because I remember seeing it at your house. With the goggles with the batteries and the on the big TV. And
I must have played that. Yeah. I think I did play that. I think the rain was kind of cool with it, but I don't remember. I didn't play the whole thing in 3D.
No, but I do remember seeing that.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking, instead of like 3D videos, is maybe like with the proliferation of VR headsets, doing 3D that way.
Well, it's kind of already 3D.
But yeah, but like actually, you know, having like the VR headset watching a movie, in 3D as well.
Yeah,
you're sitting in a movie theater and you're watching the 3D movie.
Well, that's what 3D is.
Yeah, I mean that's why I'm thinking instead of like a TV with a 3D, you're just doing that for movies like through the VR headset.
They can't. There has to be so the VR headset allows you to walk around in 3D, right?
Yeah.
But if you put a 3D image in there, something has to translate that to your eyes in 3D, and the VR itself can't do that. The image projected from the VR would then have to go through another filter to make that 3D. You'd have to have some other aspect, be it, because there's like two forms of 3D. There is the there's the checkerboard effect, and that can be done from the source, or it can be done from the
glasses.
The glasses. And if it's done from the source, then you have to have glasses that can read that. If it's done from the glasses, then it has to be getting a source that is in checkerboard.
That's compatible.
Right. So there would still have to be something in between you and the three in the VR. You know what I'm saying? It can't they can't just like do a software update into your VR headset and suddenly you get 3D images. Unless it's more something like the 3DS.
Maybe.
A little bit of that fake 3D slider on the side where mm-hmm. you can do something like that. That's possible. But I'm not sure exactly how that would work.
Like, you know, you sit down, you put on your VR headset, and it looks like you're in a movie theater. And then you're looking at the screen, and then...
Have you ever watched any... You've got my headset, right?
Yeah, but I haven't watched any movies with it.
You should.
Can you do that?
You totally can. Go into your... When you go to... If you've got some of your apps hooked up to your PlayStation, Hulu.
All right. Netflix.
Netflix as well. You can go into like a theater mode type thing.
Okay.
And so what I've done is I'll put on the headset and then I'll lay down on, I'll just lay down instead of just sitting there. I'll just lay down and then I'll reorientate the screen because once I move, the screen is there. Well, when I reorientate, it pops up in front of me, even though I'm laying down. And then I'll pick, Netflix, Hulu, whatever, start watching a movie.
Hmm.
And it is like you're looking at a movie theater screen because you can look left and right and the screen doesn't move.
Yeah.
It's right there in front of you.
That's kind of how I imagine maybe 3D movies will be in the future using VR headsets instead of, since they're not doing TVs anymore.
Yeah, I don't know about 3D. There is VR. There's VR media. And of course there is because there's always...
I believe Microsoft does a whole thing.
Yeah, there's VR media where you can watch in VR. And basically all that does is, while you can't move around in the environment, you can look around in the environment. So, if there's a scene of you in a shark cage, you can't, walk left and right in that shark cage, but you can
look around
and look all in all directions while you're in the shark cage. So, anyway... Chris, thanks for calling, man.
All right, y'all have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Went way too long on that. I'm sorry. what else do we have? We're on page two now, and Telltale Games has removed all of their games from GOG. All remaining Telltale game franchises on sale at GOG will no longer be available on the store. This was Friday, May 24th. It was taken off May 27th at 6 a.m. Eastern. Hmm. Wolf Among Us, Guardians of the Galaxy, Hector, Badge of Carnage, Batman, Sam & Max, Puzzle Agent, Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People, and Tales from the Borderlands all taken off. Walking Dead was already removed. And I guess, did they include Game of Thrones?
Or Back to the Future or Curse of the Monkey Island?
They may have never been on there. I'm not exactly sure.
Such an inglorious ending to, to Telltale.
Yeah.
And if you own these games in question, you will continue to be able to download and play them. Even if you pick up the Telltale Games collection before that Monday, you would have also enjoyed having the games. But I've got these games on so many other things.
Yeah.
That I'm not too worried about it. They delayed the Sonic the Hedgehog film. Sonic mm-hmm. of the Hedgehog. They have delayed that film to February 2020. Huh? Mm-hmm.
Re-character?
Yeah.
Redesign?
Yeah. Redesign. And I have the distinct feeling it's going to get worse.
It can. It can get worse. Of course it can.
Yeah.
You know what the problem with this is, though? This sort of enables the people that were like, we should petition to HBO to have them change the last season of Game of Thrones. This kind of enables that kind of thinking that if we clamor loud enough that, the studios will bend to us instead of just like, if you like the design, cool. If you don't, whatever, watch something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in this case, they're just redesigning a character.
Yeah.
They don't have to go back and reshoot. You know, they don't have to bring the actors back on set to reshoot stuff.
Yeah, just redo.
All they have to do is redesign the CG, and that's all they have to worry with.
All right, you know, BioWare redid the ending of Mass Effect.
I mean, everybody on HBO wanted them to reproduce the whole thing.
Yeah,
like
and
redo
that's
it.
Ridiculous.
Bring them all back in. Something that took them 2 years to make, or at least actually it took them about a year to make. To like, hey, you need to redo all of this and then do it. No. All you've got to do is
you know, Thar says it's a kid movie. It's funny that a bunch of adults won't probably go see it. I'm like, that's how I feel about when people complain about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's a kid's film.
You say it's a kid's movie, right? And
yes.
I get that. Now, I'm talking specifically about Sonic.
Okay, fine.
Specifically about Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that it is a movie directed towards kids, but there is likely a large percentage of the audience who will go see this and want to go see this are not kids because of where that game entered into our lives and where we are now since then. You know, that's my thought.
That's fair.
But I mean, I agree. It's still going to be a kid's film. I mean, I would say the same thing maybe for Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, Pokemon is carried on through...
It's a generational thing. Now.
Yeah, that's been so many.
And, you know, Star Wars is multi-generational.
Yeah. Well, 77. Yeah.
That's my thought on that.
So. You know, 40 years. So multi-generational. But in the end... Between Sonic, Mario, Pikachu, Luke, Skywalker,
they're
kids still. You know, they're four kids.
Yeah.
Man, I love that we're making progress this whole list of things. We're going to hit one more story, and then we're going to go to a break and come back. This is something likely that we'll hear about from E3, which, again, is next weekend, anyway. Or at least starts on Sunday of next week. And we'll continue on into Monday and Tuesday, and I think on Wednesday as well, with some stuff. But they're doing panels at E3 this year.
Interesting.
Well, I think it's very interesting. It is now...
Like, are they just grasping straws to make this...
No. This is much better than... Okay. I like this idea a lot better than...
The appointments?
Yeah, kind of. Because and in fact, I think this will go even further to sort of kill off the press conference situation. You know, E3 is now having panels. In fact, Bungie will be at a panel.
That might, maybe. Unless, of course, it gets to be like Dragon Con or Comic Con, where people are waiting like days to get into a panel.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's not that big.
You still can't get into E3 without, you know, credentials or paying that massive price for a ticket. But it's not that. I believe that the panels will be streamed.
Okay.
So, again, this is just something where here you can go watch the panel, and at the panel, that's where these other... And you know, I know Bungie isn't considered indie, but this is where those smaller developers and publishers
can have a voice.
Will announce their games and show off their games, too. Which, again, cuts out the middleman of, like, you don't need somebody there covering this. Everybody can watch it. So, anyway, I was talking about Ubisoft. Somebody spotted a placeholder image for a Ubisoft Pass Premium, which is likely a subscription service for Ubisoft. It was available on their store at one point, but it's since been pulled. The Ubisoft subscription category, however, it still remains under there. They don't currently offer any subscription services, but we'll see what happens. It's probably going to be something like EA Access, where you pay this a month and you get access to all this stuff to play. This is great. I think I say this is great. Depending on what this ends up being, I'm liking the whole idea of, like, you pay us $10 a month, you have access to our libraries.
Yeah.
Microsoft is doing it. And honestly, I need to read up more about that whole thing that they're doing. They're doing Game Pass on PC.
I'm still a part of that, so
yeah.
I'd never canceled my subscription.
But I'm curious if there's any kind of way that if you have it on the Xbox One, you also get it on PC, or if you have it PC, you get it on the Xbox One.
I would hope so, but I doubt.
Right, because instead of making it two
things. They would
things.
Want more money.
Maybe. I don't know. Because everything is so... Everything Xbox is so tied into Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Your login is usually the same thing that you use for Windows.
Yep. Multi-platform in a way.
Yeah, the way that everything... They wanted everything to kind of carry over. A lot of the games that I bought, if you buy a digital game that is Xbox Play Anywhere, then you also get that game on Windows. So I don't see why that the Game Pass wouldn't carry over and be two things. But I don't know. We'll see. We've got to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about the gaming disorder that the World Health Organization decided to recognize as an illness now. When we come back, we'll talk about that briefly, because we're fine. We don't have a disorder. First stage of that disorder is denial, obviously. But
yeah,
there's more to talk about as well. We haven't talked about what we've played. There's a page and a half of notes to go over here. So a lot of stuff. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Here is music from a game called Draugen. Draugen. It just came out on Steam. It's the main theme of the game. I guess it's Draugen. I guess that's how it's pronounced. Anyway, we'll be back.
Let's go with that.
Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Does anybody recognize this music? You might not. And I think if I heard it years after, I'd probably say, it sounds familiar, but I can't place it. So over the Memorial Day weekend, I played a few different games.
All right.
I tried out Warframe for the first time.
And then I installed it.
But I also went back and, for whatever reason, I went through my Steam library and I said, show me just my installed games. And so there was City Skylines, and I really wanted to play it.
Have you seen that new addition for campuses?
Yeah. I'm way behind on all that. I saw Planet Coaster, and I kind of wanted to play that. But then I saw a game that I remembered, and I was like, you know, I never finished that. Let me fire that up. And it was To the Moon.
Played it.
This is fantastic. This is beautiful.
I remember seeing the video for it and thinking that looks really interesting.
Really, just, really fun.
I never got it.
Really interesting. Very narrative.
It's kind of an adventure game, right?
Sort of.
You really can't. Story.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong with it. There's some puzzle play involved, but you're these two doctors who. This guy is hired. He's kind of on his deathbed, and he's hired these two doctors to go in and make his final moments as pleasant as possible by his memories And so you go back to all these points in his life, in these memories, trying to find that one thing that is going to, you know, help him rest easy, I guess, you know,
yeah.
Trying to find what it is. And of course it involves a girl, and it was extremely sweet, very moving, and, it was very well done, just really well done. There were some aspects of humor that I didn't really like. It wasn't that they were inappropriate jokes or anything. They were just not very good jokes. The writer of the game is better at putting that story together than he is writing jokes. But, God, it was good. It's really, really good. So, and that piece comes from it. It's a beautiful piece.
It's very pretty.
That's really, really pretty. It's a real good game. Real good game. It's been out for a long time now. Very long time.
Probably get on sale, I guess.
And it doesn't take a lot to play it either. I was playing it in a window because you can't expand it beyond a certain resolution. It's very low scale Stardew Valley-ish, you know?
Yeah.
Like Terraria back in the day. It's not demanding at all. You can probably play it on your phone at this point. So, the World Health Organization just recently decided to add gaming disorder to its list of recognized illnesses. The 194 members of the group made the decision at the 72nd World Health Assembly. A pattern of persistent or recurrent gaming behavior, digital gaming or video gaming, which may be online or offline, manifested by impaired control over gaming. The intensity, duration, the context, increasing priority given to gaming to the extent that gaming takes precedence over other life interests and daily activities, and also continuation or escalation of gaming despite the occurrence of negative consequences. The behavior pattern is of sufficient severity to result in significant impairment in personal, family, social, educational, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. In other words, addiction. Basically, they classified gaming as having that the gaming disorder is addiction.
Mm.
Addiction is seemingly a disorder in any. I mean. What's the word? What's the term? Everything in moderation, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. it's how it should be. I mean, it's just, yeah. Yes, of course, there is addiction. Gaming addiction has long been a problem for some and has been a highly debated and often discussed topic among health officials. Research lab from Iowa State University said, we found that gaming precedes the depression if they're damming enough areas of their life where it counts as a disorder. Classification and recognition of gaming disorder by the World Health Organization is a big step forward in the debate surrounding gaming addiction. So there you go. It's an addiction. You do too much of it, sure. I just don't ever see that that's going to be a thing with me. Myself. And maybe that's the first stage of gaming addiction, is that you deny that you have it in the first place, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not addicted to it.
I could quit any time.
Mm. I seriously probably could. And I, as you know, as Destiny keeps going, there are times where it's like, I don't really want to play that. I've really barely touched it this week. By the way, speaking of Destiny, I want to thank everybody. And I don't even know if they're in the room. Oh, wow, we have a lot of people in the room. Apple Bad Apple, AC Wraith, Another TV Viewer, Commander Root, Cycle Motion, Freddy Bot, Jack Craft, Joja1337, Lurks, S1 Faka, I guess, Stephen Van Dam, STM Fuller, Texas 59, The Delinquent, Thar 66, Tony Indigo, VNK, and Virgo Pros. But I really want to thank Random, who is sometimes in the chat room with us, and also Shin, who is another member of our clan. Dragon Green is in our clan. Anybody that is in our clan on Destiny 2, you guys pulled it out last week to get our clan up to the max level, and we nailed it. We got it done. We got it done last night around 9 o'clock sometime. Somebody did it. Pulled in that extra 500 points we needed, and we hit the clan level max.
Awesome.
So for the season. New season starts Tuesday, which is why we had to get this done. So I'm very, very happy that we were able to do that. And then we move into the next season, season 7, for... And apparently, as noted, and we'll get to that as well, but it looks like Destiny 2 is going to go for another year before we get something new. But we'll get to that here in a little bit. What else do we have? By the way, if you are a member of Twitch Prime, then your 9 more free months of Nintendo Switch Online should be happening pretty soon, if not already. I got my notice just the other day, and I went ahead and picked up the 9 more months of free Switch Online access through Twitch Prime. Konami announced their Contra anniversary lineup. You'll get the arcade versions of Contra, Super Contra. You'll also get the NES version of Contra and Super C. You'll get the Game Boy version of Operation C. You'll get the SNES version of Contra 3, The Alien Wars. And you'll get the Genesis version of Contra Hardcore.
Fallen Soldier's not in there?
No.
Hmm.
No. I don't see Fallen Soldier.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Maybe it's not old enough, I guess. I don't know.
Might not be.
Yeah. Or maybe it wasn't well received. I kind of like that one, though.
Never played it.
Yeah.
Yes, those games were hard, Thar.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we used the 30-man cheat code on
everything. That was part of its charm, though, wasn't it?
Konami code.
Yeah, part of its charm was co-op.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The alien sort of setting of the first one.
Yeah, it's Rambo meets Aliens type stuff.
And the fact that, you know, back when it came out, that was kind of a one-of-a-kind, you didn't have much else, you know, and like that.
In the co-op shooter department type thing? No.
Or in that atmosphere and that kind of, you know, that kind of game.
And something that gave you 30 men off the bat and you were just going to go through it.
Well, I mean, you had to work for the 30 men. They didn't automatically.
It didn't guarantee you'd beat the game. Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the... Because I don't know if you missed it, if I missed it in the news.
I mean, we've been going down the list. So if you look at the list, if we haven't gotten to it.
Okay. The Call of Duty.
No. We're going through the list.
Yeah.
You can look at that.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to.
And if we don't get it this week, we'll probably get it next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We'll get to it this week. Pokemon. Press conference in Tokyo. The Pokemon Company showed off a new range of games, services, and hardware coming next year. First is Pokemon Home, a new cloud-based service where pretty much every new and big Pokemon game, from Go to Sword and Shield, will let you store and share your Pokemon across platforms. It'll also have some social functionality. Then came Pokemon Sleep, a new mobile game from the devs behind Magikarp Jump. It's out in 2020. Soon, trainers will be able to wake up with Pokemon every morning with Pokemon Sleep. Pokemon Sleep aims to turn sleeping into entertainment by having a player's time spent sleeping and the time they wake up affect the gameplay. While more details about the app's functionality will be revealed at a later date, it was announced that a new device from Nintendo called Pokemon Go Plus Plus...
Plus Plus?
Well, the first plus is the word, the second plus is the symbol.
The plus.
Mm-hmm. Will connect to Pokemon Sleep and launch with the app. The device will use an embedded accelerometer to track users' time sleeping and send this information to their smartphone via Bluetooth. This new device also has the same functions as the original Pokemon Go Plus, so trainers can use it with Pokemon Go during the day and with Pokemon Sleep at night. Trainers can look forward to Pokemon Sleep launching for mobile devices in 2020.
You know, with a name like that, I kind of want like Pokemon 2 squared.
To celebrate this early look at Pokemon Sleep, trainers around the world will have a chance to encounter Snorlax that are lying down and deep in sleep in Pokemon Go beginning today. That's really the cream of the crop right there, is that they're gamifying sleep. Which is fine. Do you know how many apps are available that gamify exercise?
Yeah.
It's one of the ways that can really push people to exercise.
It helps me.
There's an app for your phone. I think it's mainly for running or walking.
With like the zombie?
With zombies, yeah. So if you don't keep a certain cadence or a certain type of, you know, time and speed and that sort of thing, it's like you hear that the zombies are getting closer and that sort of thing. So you speed up so that you don't lose and level up your character and everything else while you're doing the exercise. It's fantastic. And there's other things too. If you put a level system on something,
it encourages and
it encourages more use of it,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. Which could be an addiction.
I think it hardwires into our. I mean, it taps into our hardwired, you know, need for.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you hear the ding. Mm-hmm. You know.
You gamify exercise. It's fantastic. So gamifying sleep is not.
I mean, what else are you gonna do during sleep? Sleep.
Right.
I mean,
right. You know. Exactly. I've tried the.
I can level up my sleeping.
Yeah, I've tried that. I used to have a watch that did a better job monitoring my sleep. My Apple Watch doesn't do a good job at that, but then again, I really haven't tried it. So, I don't know. Anyway, what's next on the list? That was Pokemon. Ah, yes. We've arrived at the current week. We're going to Wednesday of this week, around noon or so. We received an 8-minute trailer for Death Stranding.
From the get-go on that trailer, I'm like, so this is what doing LSD is like, I'm guessing. That's all I can think about with that, is what kind of weirdness am I watching?
It's a Kojima game. Did you expect anything less?
At least earlier Kojima games weren't quite as bizarre. I mean, they had. Unusual...
The more he did, the more his. Yeah, the more that factor became
prevalent.
It intensified.
But.
Oh well, since he's got his own company now, the restrictions are off. He can do whatever he wants, and there you go. Now you got Death Stranding.
Yeah, and now you have a baby in an esophagus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Kojima. It's trippy. You know what you're going to get.
Everything I see about that makes me want to play it less.
Not necessarily me. I mean,
it's got your interest.
The problem with Kojima, the thing I think is the problem, he's like Del Toro, which he's got in the game, except without cohesiveness.
Benicio Del Toro?
No, Guillermo.
Oh. Wrong Del Toro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But as far as a director, like Guillermo del Toro can find originality and be creative about the way he shows these things, but also have a nice connection of a thread of a narrative.
And
Kojima, not so much.
Humanity.
Hmm?
There's a weird humanity also in Guillermo del Toro stuff. Even
right.
With, like Fishman or...
But there's always, there's this link of a story that connects everything. And also you get everything that he has to offer for you in the span of...
2 hours.
Two hours, something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas Kojima is like, I'm just going to keep throwing this stuff at you for the next, 10 or 12 hours, depending on how long it takes you to play this game. Sometimes his thread doesn't connect. Sometimes it starts good, but it doesn't end well. But I will never really throw fault at him, because who in the hell else would come up with this kind of a... I mean, the creativity on this, the originality.
You know, I saw that in, to quote a Mew song, a little plug-in baby, Mm-hmm. It's just weird. And I'm not opposed to weird, but weird for the sake of being weird?
I'm not opposed to weird. What I'm not opposed to is originality. And I like that. I like the aspect of what he's giving us in an original sort of thing. If it doesn't connect, then it's a failure. But I hope that it does, with the amount of money he's spending on this and with all the names attached to it, that there is some sort of, like, they had to have looked at something and said, this is strange, but I like this, and I'll do it. And maybe I can find whatever it was that was liked. I don't know.
Look, originality is something we've been pining for as gamers for a long time, and this is something original. That's why it's got our interest in it. And if it fails, like you said, it fails, but still, kudos to him for trying.
Right.
Because a lot of people are scared to even go that route.
Like, I'm still on the side of Matt. Like, man, Kojima, you're weird.
Just, you know, weird is okay, but, like, in moderation, weird is, you know, my kind of thing. You know, mm-hmm. like David Lynch's, you know, films or like Dune, you know, stuff like it's weird. But
well, let's keep it into gaming. When was the last thing that you played that had originality to it?
Something that, like, you didn't say, oh, this
no. I mean, like,
something that looks like it says, oh, somewhere you couldn't say, oh, this is just like
game
that you've played earlier.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Let me go down the list of some of the games I know you've played. Ghost Recon Wildlands. There's not originality
no,
there.
There's
not. Hitman. There's not originality there.
No.
Let's go to Elite Dangerous. Not necessarily originality there.
Space Sim.
It's got grand ideas as far as what it's trying to do. But it's still a space sim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing in there that you've experienced that is like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard for us to do at our age because we've been playing games for a very long time.
And so trying to remember all the weird things that we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's, yeah, no, I was going to say it's kind of akin to Quantic Dream.
Quantic Dream. Yeah.
And what at least what he tries to do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably not originality there, but he is David Cage is mm-hmm. the guy I'm thinking of. He's still trying to bridge that gap of play a movie mm-hmm. sort of thing. I think somebody called who's not happy with what we're talking about.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
That's
whatever.
It's like
on my paycheck.
It's like thinking though. It's like those like mechanics are the only things we're noticing that sticks out, like bullet time from Max Payne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I think of like Kojima's previous thing with Metal Gear Solid 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was weird to the point where it didn't connect because the storyline was the downfall. The gameplay and the mechanics are, you know, whatever. They're just, that was the fun part.
That's another thing to look at. When was the last time that he made a game that wasn't tied into a previous property?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the last time Kojima made a game that wasn't tied into a previous
property?
He
tried to, but they canned it.
What, PT?
And,
yeah.
I almost personally, I think I would have enjoyed more of a, if they would have given us Silent Hill, you know, instead of this.
What they were going to give us, you mean?
Yeah.
The Silent Hills, I think
Silent
is what it was
Hills.
Called?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, just me, I would have enjoyed that collaboration a little bit more. I look at this and I don't mind weird, but this just seems like excessively, not to, you know, and I like Twin Peaks. I like strange things. I like, you know, this is just.
But you're still relating, you gotta relate them to a different medium.
Yeah, I know, I'm.
Is the issue that I'm trying to convey here.
So you like Silent Hills and it had a weird aspect to it, right?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know what Silent Hills was going to be.
I played PT, and mm-hmm. like, you know, that was creepy. It was like, you know,
Silent Hill. You're going to get horror, creepy, weird, psychedelic, messed up, mental things going on. Yeah,
yeah.
Same thing's going on here.
But where was the originality in PT though? There was impressive detail.
I mean, and that wasn't a full game. That was just a little demo,
exactly,
a playable trailer, so to speak. But I don't know. The more I see of this, the more I get standoffish.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not saying that's wrong to feel that way. I'm really not.
Maybe I'll have to wait for it to come out.
I just
all right. So
don't want to condemn something where it's like here's what we've wanted for a while now, some originality in our gaming.
Yeah.
And I get that. And you know what? We probably get that a lot. That is overlooked massively in the indie side of things.
Yes.
There's probably a number of games out there that are indie developed that we don't even know about. That it's like, wow, this is really original. Whether it be the mechanics, the story. The art, anything like that, that we completely overlook.
Narration.
Delinquent's talking about The Quiet Man, where you play as a deaf protagonist.
That's all right. I haven't done that before.
But he said the execution of that concept was pure garbage.
Oh, well, I've had that one.
You said the quiet man, a deaf person. Mm-hmm. What was, I'm trying to think of the one with the. It was the blind woman. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It was on PlayStation Store a while back.
Blind woman.
It was a blind. You're blind, but you have to navigate by making sound. She navigates through echolocation. She hits something.
That was on. I played a little bit of that at a PAX for VR.
Yeah,
it was for PlayStation VR.
It's a VR game, yeah.
And so you're
make a sound, and then the sound waves reverberate, and it reflects off of what you
and that
see.
Would form the space that you were in, but it would fade, and so you'd have to continue to tap to see where you were going.
Yeah, but the more you tap, the more the enemy knows where you're at. So you have to, regulate between staying safe or knowing where you're going. But I'm trying to think. I think it was Perception. I think that was the name of it.
That might have been it.
Yeah. So yeah, aspects of being blind or being deaf or something like that. It's been done. It's done before. Not often, but
let's continue on because we do need to take a break here, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap up as much as we can. This is music from Layers of Fear 2, which is recently released.
I enjoyed the first one.
Main theme for that game. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game that Matt installed, Warframe.
And then I uninstalled it.
Did you?
Yes.
Why?
I played that too, Matt, by the way.
Did you?
Are you still in it?
Yes. I'm still in it, but the thing about it was, I've said a long time ago, I'm so far behind everybody else. They've had so much time with it that they've gotten so much further ahead than I have, so I'm forever playing catch-up in that game.
Yeah.
But yeah. But it's still...
I played a very tiny bit of it, so just a little bit of it.
It's probably one of the games you have to play with others to get a feel for it.
Maybe, I don't know.
Because the character I got feels like a support character. Really.
Okay. I'll talk real quick with Master Thespian. Hello! Okay.
Hello! You guys were talking about the games that surprised you or did things in unusual ways.
Yes. Originality.
Well, I'm going to date myself. There was It was in the 90s when the CD-ROM games were all the rage.
Yeah.
When Myst first came out and, Phantasmagoria.
Oh, Phantasmagoria 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. I still have a copy of that. That was one of those. It was an interesting game, too, where you could play either the extreme horror version or the not quite so extreme horror version. That was kind of fun. But the game that I remember being surprised at was the Journeyman Project 2.
Yes.
I think it was Agent Out of Time or something, but it was unusual. I think Butterbun was the one that developed it.
Mm-hmm.
They later got bought out by Red Sun and all that. But the cool thing about that is that your mission was you got into this time suit, and you had to go to one of, I think, either four or five different locations. One was a castle under siege. One was a Mayan temple. One was a space station. But you could choose any of them. Go to at any point. You had to collect items, and it was interesting because at one point you could pick up at the space station an artificial intelligence named Arthur. And at that point, you realize things were going to be different because you could go back to a different part of the game, and Arthur was going to comment.
Yes.
He had all sorts of glib comments, like you came across a rope bridge in the Mayan temple. He went, "Ooh, rope bridge, very dangerous. You go first." or he would comment about, things, objects, just anything. So you could go through and play it without him, and then eventually pick him up at some point, and then you want to go back and play again to see what sort of start things it's going to say. But it was unusual in that you would die multiple times, and a screen would flash up and say, well, this is awkward. You just died. And explain what happened. Either you know, the wall collapsed on you, or you accidentally triggered a trap, or somebody threw a cow over the wall, and you were killed by a cow, which was kind of fun. But you could go back and correct your mistake. So it gave you this heightened sense of, ooh, I need to be really careful what I do, so you wouldn't just go gallivanting along and trip traps. But it was unusual. It was one of those nonlinear type of games where you could go anywhere you want, but then there were certain things you had to get press on. You still had that linear aspect, but it was fun. I enjoyed that in that respect, and it would be interesting. You know, I think the Skyrim was a very similar concept to that, of being able to do different things at different times. You didn't have to follow the script. But if people could develop more games like that where it wasn't a strict linear, you got to follow the pathway, you got to do this, and then this, and find more ways to make it exciting to want to play the same thing over and over again. So,
I think linear is necessary for some stuff, but not everything. Some stories they have a very specific story to tell that won't really translate into an open decision like Journeyman Project 2.
Right.
You know?
Right. Plus, there are some games where you have to learn mechanics. I mean, you have to learn how to use your weapon, and so they've got a certain process you go through to learn how to use the bow or how to use the laser sword or whatever.
Did you ever play Braid?
No, I did not.
It's a platformer, and it is obviously very linear because you're platforming, but like the story that you get through that, through, you know, as it progresses, you know, is really the only way that you could, you know, have that story. It's very linear in the sense of, you know, the game style, the play, and the narration, and it fits it very well. But like you said, some things are, you know, you can be more loose with, you know, narration and story.
I like
you know, it's nice to have both.
Yeah. Well, Amist was one of those games where you had multiple endings.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first games that had multiple endings where you had one right ending, but then you had several different wrong endings. But that was kind of fun because that increased your gameplay. You wanted to go back and then find your way to the alternate ending, kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Yeah, it was also the first time something had thrown you into whatever and didn't go any further than that. Just like, here you are, figure it out.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say the first time about that.
Yeah, they didn't hold your hand back then, man.
Super Mario Brothers was like that.
No, Super Mario Brothers was go left.
But I mean,
or go right. I'm sorry.
Through the development of the gameplay, you know how they set up where these bricks, you know, the blocks here, stuff like that. You teach yourself. You know,
yeah, but you
no
didn't
instruction.
Know there was no sort of there was no instruction as far as. Like, it's just, here you are, now go explore. You know, that's all it was.
But, I mean, like,
pulling the first lever you see, you had no idea what that
happens,
did.
Or where it did it.
Yeah, or where it even activated. Exactly. It was really kind of difficult in that way. Hey, Master Zespian, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah.
All right. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're going to try and get through. We've got some stories here. We only got about less than 20 minutes to get through these things. Square Enix has confirmed that the worldwide reveal of its Avengers game is happening at E3 2019. The Twitter account says, tune in to Square Enix Live E3 2019 for the worldwide reveal of Marvel's Avengers. That will happen on June 10th at 6 p.m. Pacific, so 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. And they showed a teaser trailer. Anyway, Eurogamer says there's a whiff of destiny about Square Enix Marvel's Avengers. A listing for Marvel's Avengers at E3 has provided us with the first gameplay details for the title, and it sounds a bit like Tomb Raider developer Crystal Dynamics is building its take on the Destiny formula. It mentioned continuous single-player and cooperative gameplay for up to 4 players. The E3 Coliseum listing says you can customize your heroes to fit your playstyle. Embrace your powers and join key members of the development team at Crystal Dynamics and the creative team at Marvel Games as they talk exclusively about Marvel's Avengers. This is the defining Avengers game experience, an epic action-adventure that combines cinematic storytelling with continuous single-player and cooperative gameplay. Assemble in teams of up to four players, master extraordinary abilities, customize your heroes to fit your playstyle, and combine powers to defend an ever-expanding world under constant threat. And that is all we know until later. Microsoft has announced that it's planning to bring more Xbox Game Studio games to Steam. Why not Epic Game Store? Freeing them from the confines of the Microsoft Store, the store itself isn't dead and gone. It's part of Microsoft's plan for bringing the Xbox Game Pass subscription service to PC. But it'll no longer be the only way to play those first-party games on PC. They're going to make them available in multiple stores, including their own Microsoft Store on Windows at launch. We believe you should have a choice in where you buy your PC games. Is there any talk of... No talk of Epic Game Store. Was curious if anybody may have asked him or something. No more. That means a lot of developers. When you think about the role, yeah. Not really saying anything about that. You're going to hear more about that during Microsoft's E3 press conference. The Xbox Games with Gold for June. Xbox One, you'll get EA Sports NHL 19 from the entire month, June 1st through the 30th. Rivals of Aether from the 16th to the 15th, June 16th to July 15th. Xbox 360 games that are compatible with Xbox One, Portal Still Alive, which were just expansion puzzle rooms for you to figure out. And then Earth Defense Force 2017 as well. And then there's Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the shirt that I wore today. Call of Duty.
And me too.
Yeah, right? Infinity Ward is releasing Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Not Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Just Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Infinity Ward's reimagining of its modern military shooter franchise will have two very big changes. This year's game will feature cross-play support for multiplayer on PlayStation 4, Windows PC, and Xbox One. And the second change is that they will not have a traditional season pass. This is amazing. Dauntless, Fortnite, Rocket League, those are all cross-platform play, and now we're getting Call of Duty cross-platform play. No zombies either. Thanks, Thar66. I remember they put that in there. I'm not into the Call of Duty stuff. I haven't been in a long time. I'm okay with that.
The last one I enjoyed was 4, Modern Warfare.
Modern Warfare, exactly. The only thing I see this is that here's crossplay, so hopefully more games will start doing that. I am hoping beyond hope that Destiny gets a cross-save feature or a cross-play feature or something to where I can start playing with you, RJ, on PS4, but not have to start up a new character or keep both characters going simultaneously.
Yeah.
To where I can save my progress, then jump on PS4 and play with you and everybody else on PS4 when you guys are on. I really, really, really like that. So I'm hoping Bungie reveals something about that. We don't know. But Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Moderner Warfare, will be released on October 25th. Also this week, we got word that the makers of Divinity Original Sin 2 are possibly making a Baldur's Gate 3.
Interesting.
There was a teaser on the company's website with the three above, which led many to believe that Divinity Original Sin 3 was en route, but some snooping by a Twitter user led to a whole bunch of hints that this is Baldur's Gate 3. Before I go any further, allow me to make a brief digression. Holy... The original Baldur's Gate trilogy, which ended in 2001, is largely regarded as one of the best role-playing game series ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Baldur's Gate 2 holds up pretty well as well. Today, If the makers of Divinity Original Sin 2 are really making a new one, this might be the news of the year.
I've heard great things about Divinity 2.
Yes, I have too, as well. But, yeah, I don't know. I never played Baldur's Gate.
Man, long time ago.
Yeah. Never played it. That wraps up page two of our news. We don't have very many stories on the final page here, other than there's a game on Switch called Crystal Crisis that released recently. And according to Kotaku, it's just a it's just an impressions article here. But
was Crystal Crisis, was that a Final Fantasy GameCube? Was that Crystal Chronicles.
That was Crystal Chronicles, yeah. The headline for this is Crystal Crisis is the sequel Puzzle Fighter fans deserve.
Ooh.
It is not a sequel, obviously. It's not Capcom didn't do this.
Yeah, but it's in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
So it tests friendships.
Yep. It's puzzle fighting.
It should.
Oh, will. If it's anything similar to Puzzle Fighter, yeah. You're going to test friendships on that game.
Oh, it's got four-player mode?
Oh, all the friendships.
All the friendships are gone.
The narrator of the game is Peter Cullen.
Nice.
Interesting.
I heard Tony Todd's he narrates, I think it's Layers of Fear 2, is it?
No idea.
I think I saw that when I watched the trailer for it. I think, yeah, he does the narration for Layers of Fear 2. Tony Todd being the Candyman.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 11's getting a DLC pack.
Yeah, I saw that.
Of course.
That'll come with Shang Tsung.
Yeah, and it looks like the Shang Tsung from the movie.
Kerry Tagawa.
Nice.
Yeah, they got him doing the voice. It was they revealed all the
DLC.
They
didn't just get him to do the voice. I mean, they got his
face and likeness and everything. So it was like a what was it? Shang Tsung, Sindel.
Ooh, can they get Sindel from Abomination, Mortal Kombat? Annihilation.
Annihilation.
They haven't. They haven't said it'll be Nightwolf.
Nightwolf,
Sindel, Spawn,
and two other guests.
See, I hope they get the movie people to reprise their roles.
No, for Spawn, they're getting Keith David.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He voiced Spawn in the HBO animated series.
Animated series, I remember
which
that.
To date is the best representation
of Spawn
in any kind of medium outside of the comics.
I agree.
And then there's two others that are hinted at. We're thinking Ash from Evil Dead, and then Terminator as well. That was from people digging into the
code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where that came from.
Like that. Yeah.
If you're on GOG, you can get Abduction for free. The Mist Devs game, Abduction, that's free on GOG.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that previously free on? No, it was something else. I need to pick that up. I was thinking of The Witness. That was free on Epic Store.
Yeah.
So I need to get the GOG Abduction because I was wanting to play that.
Let's see, a free, John Romero, he made a new episode for Doom called Sigil.
Yeah. The first, for Doom 1, it doesn't use any of the, sprites or, resources from Doom 2.
Mm.
So, interesting.
And then finally we have, did we get it all in? We sure did. Wow. Microsoft has teased 14 Xbox Game Studio reveals at E3 this year. Finishing our final E3 rehearsal here and in with the team in Redmond. Feel really good about the briefing. Lots to show. We have 14 Xbox Game Studio games this year. More first-party games than we've ever had in the show. Fun times. Yeah, well, if you're going to put out another Forza... I'm just a little tired of getting Forza. Maybe something Gears related, possibly. I don't know. We'll see. I'm trying to think of something that we do know coming to Xbox that's an original.
Mm-hmm.
Halo?
Not of anything.
Maybe.
No idea.
This is one of the E3s where I feel completely out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
I guess more I'm focusing on Ubisoft. I just want me a Splinter Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout Shelter 2 is coming out, but only in China.
That's a mobile game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Fallout 2 Shelter. That's an interesting title. Unless he got it wrong. I don't know.
Was it Fallout 2 Shelter or Fallout Shelter 2?
He put Fallout 2 Shelter.
But I would think it'd be Fallout Shelter 2.
Then again, it could have been lost in the translation from China.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, Fallout Shelter 2. Who else? Did anybody join us in the past?
Well, yeah.
Cycle Motion.
Howdy.
Green Sticky Stuff. And that is...
They were asking about any Civilization games or style games. And that's why I was thinking, like, you know... Civilization style?
Not necessarily. Now, city building is what City Skyline is. Think of it Sim City, but something that works.
Yes.
And it's really, really good, but if you're looking for something like Civilization,
world
where it's kind of world building, strategy game type stuff,
mm-hmm.
there's not really. I mean,
Civ 6?
Yeah, exactly. Civ 6 is really what you want to go with in that regard.
Yeah.
There's not much to.
I'm drawing a blank on.
It's hard to find. Civ 6 exists, right? and it's very, very good. So trying to find something else
that wants to be that.
That wants to be that? It's just something I want to tell you to go be like, no, just stick with Civ 6.
Yeah.
You know?
If you haven't played it. If you've already played it,
right.
Then...
Right. Now, if you came to me and said, what about City Sims? Like city building and stuff like that? Then I would say City Skylines.
Yeah.
Because the Sims, it wasn't really... When they redid that, they kind of screwed it up. But City Skylines does a fantastic job of it.
Mm-hmm. Like a Planet Coaster.
Theme park building. Yeah.
But like a kind of building. I hear they're doing like a Jurassic Park kind of a...
They already did. It didn't get good reviews.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. It didn't really work that well. But Planet Coaster's done good.
Frontier Games. They're the ones that did Elite.
They're the ones that originally did City... Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
Now, City Skylines was something I was thinking about getting into, but that would be better on a PC as opposed to console, wouldn't it? Because of resources you need to have everything flowing properly.
No, I think the console, I would look up some reviews, but I think the consoles actually did pretty good.
Okay.
I kind of want to get it because it's on Switch. I kind of want to get it for Switch so I can have it
mobile.
So I can have it mobile.
Yeah.
I saw somebody playing the original Roller Coaster Tycoon on their iPad. And there is a Roller Coaster Tycoon app for the iPad, and it's RTC Classic, RCT Classic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks fantastic. It looks exactly like, because it doesn't need that kind of power, and it looked exactly like what I remember playing, and that was a lot of fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the thing about Civilization. Like, if you're talking about consoles, I would say to look into, and I think Civ 6 is... No, what was it called? Civilization Revolution? They did one for the 360 and for some portable titles that were Civilization Revolution. Really, really good. So, and I wish I could help you more with that. I think that's going to wrap it up. I think we got through everything. We didn't go over what we played.
Elite Dangerous. Boom.
I know. I told you mine.
MK11. I'm still headhunting. I got two more characters left to get 50 fatalities on so I can unlock everything in the crypt.
Mine was Destiny, Warframe, To the Moon. To the Moon, I can't recommend enough. It was fantastic.
That. And they released the roadmap for this month in Hitman 2.
You know, there was a Destiny 2 story, and I did not click on it.
More complaining?
No. The new season drops June 4th, which is this coming Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But a few days after that, on June 6th, they're going to be showing off what's coming next for Destiny 2. In other words, what will we get come September?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going for year 3? What is year 3 of Destiny 2 going to be? So, we'll see.
And I still haven't picked up that DLC yet. Forsaken.
Well, if they announce crossplay, I hope you do. Or cross-save, something like
cross
that.
Save, yeah.
If they announce something to where I can bring my characters over and play with you on the PS4,
mm-hmm.
I would hope you get that. By that time, it'll probably be reduced price anyway.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for joining us on this stream and also listening on the radio, even if you hated hearing us on the radio. You called in, and you're probably still listening. We want to thank you for that. Thanks to Master Thespian and Chris for calling in.
Yes.
Check out ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our Twitch channel if you're watching us right now. Join up. We're on Steam. We're on Discord. We're everywhere. I want to thank everybody again. I want to thank you guys for being here as well. We will do this again next Saturday. Have a fantastic week. Here is music from a game that was catching on fire on Steam. Tons of people playing this. It's called Void Bastards.
Yeah, that was big.
It's a game called Quantum, or it's a track called Quantum. We'll see you next week.